Little Days. A The Untamed fanfic. Written by Lyra Lynn. Read by Black Glass. The first time it happened, Lan Xichun was terrified. The day after the beating, he went to find his brother with salves and bandages. There were healers and attendants who could do everything that needed to be done for Wang Ji. He went himself anyway. Wang Ji might turn his face away, or he might stare with a stony, locked-off silence that had been almost his only response since the Yi Ling Lao Tzu fell from the cliff. Lan Xichun didn't think Wang Ji would actually send him away. To do that, Wang Ji would have to speak to him. Xichun would be allowed to do this, at least. He had not watched the blows fall, but he had heard them. Had heard the words his brother spat from bloodied lips. Heard the grunts through a jaw clenched tight to keep from crying out. Had heard, when at last, once, he'd cried out anyway. Cloud recesses had been very quiet that day, and sound always carried in the clear mountain air. He'd sat, head bowed, and heard it all, and promised himself this at least, that when it was over, he'd tend to his brother's wounds with his own hands. Only, Wang Ji was not where he ought to be. He was not in his own room, or in the cold spring, or in the cold pond cave. None of the servants seemed to have any idea what had become of him, and Lan Xichun searched, increasingly frantic. He should not even be out of bed. He was not in the library, or on the hill with the colony of white bunnies Lan Xichun was not supposed to know about. Wang Ji could not possibly know where to find the small sick child he'd brought out of the burial mounds, but Lan Xichun went to the cottage anyway. "No," said the old woman who was nursing the child. "Han Guanjun had not been seen here." Perhaps he should have looked at the Jing Shi first. Only, it had been so many years since either of them set foot near the place of their mother's imprisonment. It was a memory that took him there at last. A memory of another search, ended much sooner then. At 9, Lan Huan had known just where his missing brother would be. It was with a strange doubled vision that he saw him there now, kneeling before a closed door. As then, Wang Ji's hands were clenched by his thighs. As then, he knelt perfectly still, white robes falling like folds of stone. Now his hands were larger. Now his robes were bloodied. "Wang Ji," said Lan Xichun, approaching quickly. "You should not be out of bed." He could see fresh blood seeping through the back of his brother's robes. He would never heal this way. How had he even made his way here unassisted? Wang Ji did not turn or acknowledge his presence until Lan Xichun was standing in front of him. He had expected this. He had expected, too, the same remote, unyielding glare that he had tried and failed to pierce through for days now. But Wang Ji's gaze was soft. His eyebrows raised a little as he tilted his head up. "Gege," Wang Ji said. "I am waiting for mother." He got Wang Ji back to his rooms, soothing and persuading with words that sprang from a long-buried instinct. Wang Ji would not answer to his courtesy name, seemed barely to recognize it, so Lan Xichun called him Ajun for the first time in many years. When the path turned, Wang Ji wanted to continue down it, toward the home of their childhood, and Lan Xichun had to explain that they did not live there anymore. When they reached his own rooms, Wang Ji looked around curiously, as if seeing the space for the first time. "I live here now?" he asked simply. "Yes." "Okay." Lan Xichun eased him into sitting on the bed. And only then, with the door closed, did Wang Ji's lips tremble. "Gege," he whispered, as if disclosing something shameful. "It hurts." Lan Xichun was still moving on instinct. His body knew what to do, even if his mind was confused and fearful. He laid a hand on his brother's cheek. "I know," he said quietly. Let me help you. Wang Ji let him peel off the robes, whimpering a little as they stuck to the edges of his wounds. He let Lan Xichen murmur soothingly, I know. It's all right. You're being very brave. He didn't cry. He rarely had, even as a child. He lay down obediently on his stomach so that Lan Xichen could clean his back, small twitches of pain crossing his face when Lan Xichen touched the whip stripe too nearly. It had been so long since Wang Ji had mastered composure. Lan Xichen was not used to seeing him like this, eyebrows furrowing, biting his lip, showing when it hurt. He cleaned and bandaged Wang Ji's back, and then hovered unsure. He ought, perhaps, to go consult one of the healers, and try to understand what was happening to his brother. He did not want to. He was not a possessive man, but in this moment, he felt something of his brother's own stubborn clinging. This Wang Ji, this Ajahn, was his and no one else's. Their mother and father were dead. Their uncle had ordered those stripes on his back. To everyone else, he was Han Guangjun, shining and remote. No one else had a right to see Ajahn's soft, responsive face, his wide, trusting eyes. He could pretend that the impulse was to protect his brother's dignity, but he was not given to lying about his own motivations. It was selfish, clutching desire, and thus he hesitated, almost decided to seek out a healer anyway, when Ajahn's face turned up to him.
Gege, he said sadly, are you leaving?
No, he answered at once, and sat on the bed beside his brother's head. I will stay with you.
It still hurts,
Ajahn whispered. He did not ask why he'd been beaten, thank goodness. Lan Xichen would have had no idea what to say. I know, Didi. I'm sorry. He stroked Ajahn's head. His hair was still loose from when he had been laying down yesterday. Ajahn closed his eyes.
Gege, sing to me.
Somewhere from the depths of his memory, a song arose. When their mother used to sing. He hummed it, and then, as he recalled the words, began singing softly, still stroking his fingers through his brother's hair. Ajahn sighed and shifted closer, resting his face against Lan Xichen's thigh. He sang it over and over again, until long after Ajahn had fallen asleep. The next day he hurried to his brother's room, wanting to be there first. He arrived at the same time as the attendant, who was charged with tending Wang Ji's recuperation. He was already preparing what to say as they entered together, but as soon as he saw Wang Ji, he knew it would not be needed. His face was proud and restrained as he sat up stiffly to greet them. If Wang Ji had any recollection of the previous afternoon, he never spoke of it. The second time it happened, Lan Xichen was strangely, shamefully glad. As soon as his 3 years of seclusion were over, Wang Ji had left Gusu. He did not say where he was going. Lan Xichen guessed anyway. A week passed, and then one morning, a younger disciple bowed to Lan Xichen in passing, and said, I hope Han Guangjun has recovered from his journey. Recovered? He asked. I did not know he had returned. Oh, said the disciple, looking suddenly anxious that he had spoken out of turn. Yes, Su Wujun. This disciple saw him at the gate yesterday. Doubtless he is still resting. Lan Xichen hurried to Wang Ji's rooms. Wang Ji ought to have come to him to report soon after arriving back in Cloud Recesses. Lan Xichen did not like any of the reasons he might not have come. Perhaps an injury, although it was strange that no attendant had notified him if that was the case. Perhaps. Lan Xichen was almost certain his brother would have found nothing at the place he went seeking. But what if? He hurried. Wang Ji's rooms were empty and seemed untouched. The one attendant he passed had not seen anything of him, did not know he had returned. Lan Xichun went to the Jing Shi first this time, and was relieved to see his brother kneeling before the door. "Wang Ji," he said, and then, when Wang Ji did not turn, "A Zhan." He turned his head, his eyes wide and shimmering.
"I waited and waited. When is she coming back?"
Lying is forbidden in cloud recesses, but Lan Xichun had learned many years ago that one could choose which truth to speak. "Not today," he answered, and held out a hand. Wang Ji, A Zhan, took it, but did not stand.
"Tomorrow?"
he asked, looking up. "We can come back tomorrow," Lan Xichun answered. "If you wish," he added, a crumb to full honesty. If it happened like the last time, tomorrow Wang Ji would know that there was nothing to be found here. But today... today, Lan Xichun would have to take care of him. And with a strange guilty pang, he realized that thought was more relief than burden. It appeared A Zhan had gone straight to the Jing Shi on returning last night. So the first order of business was breakfast, then a wash and change. At first, Lan Xichun was anxious as the attendants came to bring breakfast and fill the bath. But A Zhan had been a quiet, mannerly child, and they did not seem to notice anything different about him. How could they not notice? Lan Xichun wondered silently, looking at the gentle openness of his baby brother's face. A Zhan bathed himself, but wanted help washing his hair. So Lan Xichun knelt behind him, sleeves tied back, and rubbed his fingers against his brother's scalp, while A Zhan drew swirling patterns on the water's surface. "Tip your head back," said Lan Xichun, when it was time to rinse, keeping a hand at the base of his skull to help him lean back far enough that the water would not run into his eyes. Looking up at him, A Zhan suddenly smiled widely. "Upside down Gege," he said, lifting a finger to touch Lan Xichun's cheek. "It is you who are upside down," he said, smiling back. A Zhan had always liked dressing up, so it was easy to talk him into the several layers of robes and silver hairpiece that would be expected of him. "Do we have a guest?" he asked, as Lan Xichun helped him with the final outer belt. "Not a guest," said Lan Xichun. "But I am taking you to meet some very special personages."
"Who?"
A Zhan asked, eyes wide. "It is a surprise," he answered, teasing a little. "But don't be nervous. They will not expect you to talk." Curious, quiet, and obedient as he had always been, A Zhan followed him up the hill and back into the woods. When he saw the little dell with the dozens of white bunnies, he stopped still, his mouth forming a perfectly round, silent O. He did not move for a whole minute, watching them hop hesitantly closer.
"Can I pet them?"
he breathed at last. "Yes," Lan Xichun said, sitting down beside him. "Sit and let them come to you." A Zhan sat down very carefully, checking behind him again and again to be sure he was not going to hurt any bunnies. He sat perfectly still, mouth still agape, eyes shining, as the bunnies came up to nose at his knees. They knew his scent and were more confident with him than he was with them. "Pet them softly, like this," Lan Xichun said, demonstrating. He knew A Zhan did not need to be told to be gentle, but he would find the instruction reassuring anyway. A Zhan's hand shook a little as he reached out, and he held his breath while the nearest bunny let him stroke behind her ears. He lifted his face to Lan Xichun, eyebrows high, eyes sparkling.
"They're good," he whispered, almost in tears. "They're so good."
Lan Xichun laughed softly, his own throat prickling. He still did not know what to make of the state of his brothers, but A Zhan was so happy. Lan Xichun did not remember the last time he'd seen him so happy. They stayed with the bunnies for hours, A Zhan eventually growing confident enough to pick them up and cradle them in his lap. Lan Xichen had told one of the attendants that morning that he and his brother would be occupied together that day, so there were no interruptions. There was nothing to do but sit together and marvel at one bunny eating grass, another hopping directly over its brother, another returning again and again to twitch its nose against Ajahn's fingers. Ajahn talked to them in a small, coaxing voice. He cuddled them gently to his chest. He laughed at them playing. Lan Xichen held on to the sound of that laugh, memorizing it. They returned to Wang Ji's rooms for the afternoon. Ao Yuan had recently begun his disciple training, and lived with the other young disciples most of the time. But Wang Ji still had a chest of toys that Ao Yuan had outgrown only a year or two earlier. They played together quietly. Ajahn kept talking about the bunnies. "Remember that one that hopped right onto my shoulder and tickled my ear?" "Yes, I remember." Lan Xichen had never done so little in a day, but the hours passed quickly. After dinner, Ajahn wanted to practice calligraphy. His strokes were those of his younger self, well-formed for a child, but nothing like Lan Wenji's precise hand. Lan Xichen saved one of the sheets he'd practiced on, folding it carefully and tucking it between his robes. When bedtime came, he tucked his brother in, kissed his forehead, and again sang him to sleep. In the morning, as before, Wang Ji was his adult self again. If he recalled how he had spent the previous day, he did not give any sign of it. Lan Xichen might have almost believed it had been a dream, but he had the calligraphy paper still. He tucked it away in a box that held a few other precious things. It happened again, once every year or two, most often after Wang Ji returned from following a rumor of demonic cultivation. After Wang Ji moved into the Jingshi, Lan Xichen would find him wandering inside, looking lost, instead of kneeling outside. Ajahn's first words were always to ask where their mother was. When Lan Xichen answered that she was not coming that day, he would accept it with a small frown. Then Lan Xichen would spend the rest of the day doing whatever made Ajahn happiest. It was easy to make him happy. He loved the bunnies. He loved having his hair washed. He loved playing games and practicing the arts. Lan Xichen kept the chest of Ayuan's toys in his own rooms, adding to it occasionally, when he remembered something his brother had especially liked as a child. He never explained the toy chest, and nobody asked. Perhaps he should be ashamed to be carefully hoarding toys and games in the expectation that his brother would need them again. Perhaps he should be ashamed of the tiny leap in his heart whenever he found Wang Ji in the Jingshi and knew by his face that today was an Ajahn day. He could not find any shame in his heart. His brother smiled so much on these days. Lan Xichen thought, too, that Wang Ji was more at peace in the days following. Some of the strain and sorrow lifted from his brow. Wang Ji had endured so much. If, for one day every couple of years, he was able to retreat into childhood and find happiness there, Lan Xichen would guard him there, as fiercely as was needed. The Ajahn days had begun after Wei Wuxian's death. After Wei Wuxian returned to life, Lan Xichen assumed they would not come again. He tried not to feel sad about this. He told himself that he would give all the toys to some family, or perhaps an orphan house. He kept putting it off. He had many other things to think about. Then, around 2 years after his brother and Wei Wuxian were married, an attendant came to find him. "Senior Wei sent me to say that Han Guangjun requests your presence in the Jingshi as soon as you are able," the attendant said, bowing deeply. The summons worried him. Wei Wuxian had returned from a night hunt with Sijue only the day before. Everyone in the cloud recesses knew to avoid the Jingshi for a day or two after one or the other of its inhabitants returned from an absence. Something must be wrong. Wei Wuxian was standing outside the door, pacing, peering in anxiously. His brow cleared when he saw Lan Xichun.
Forgive me, Zhu Wujun.
I didn't know who else to call for, and he might be asking for you. The particular confused, tender anxiety in Wei Wuxian's voice told him what to expect. He entered and saw his brother sitting ramrod straight in a corner, stubborn anger on his face.
Ajahn? He asked softly.
Ajahn brightened at once and stood.
Gaga,
he said, smiling, and then glowered over Lan Xichun's shoulder as Wei Wuxian entered behind him.
Who is that?
Lan Xichun's first impulse, unhopefully, was laughter. The expression on his brother's face was not so different from the scowls he had leveled at Wei Wuxian in their teenage days, only more childish and less disguised.
It's all right, he said, unable to help smiling.
He is allowed to be here. Ajahn still frowned, but he no longer seemed to feel Wei Wuxian's presence was an immediate concern.
Gaga, can we go see the bunnies?
It was always the first thing he wanted to do.
Yes, he answered, after you have eaten your breakfast.
He saw that a tray had already been brought and sat untouched. Ajahn went to it immediately and began eating. Only then did Lan Xichun turn to Wei Wuxian and draw him back outside.
What happened? He asked.
I couldn't sleep, said Wei Wuxian. The night hunt got a little rough, and I was having trouble sleeping. I went out for some air in the early hours. When I came back, he was awake and... like this.
He didn't know me.
He kept asking for Gugu, so when they brought our breakfast, I sent for you.
Did they see? He asked sharply.
Wei Wuxian shook his head.
I met them at the door. I didn't like...
I wanted to see what you thought, before anyone else.
Thank you for calling me, he said, relieved. I imagine this was distressing for you.
Wei Wuxian frowned slightly.
You are not distressed, he said.
Not a question.
This has happened before?
Lan Xichun nodded once. He wished he had considered this possibility more seriously, even prepared Wei Wuxian ahead of time. It had not been a conversation he wanted to have with his brother-in-law. It had not, he realized, been a part of Wang Ji he wanted to share with him.
It has happened from time to time, he answered at last.
It seems to come when he has been unusually distressed.
Because of you, he did not add.
It has never lasted longer than a day. Wei Wuxian considered this.
Who else knows?
No one else. I have cared for him on the previous occasions.
Does he know?
Lan Xichun shook his head.
If he does, he has never acknowledged it.
Wei Wuxian considered for a minute more, then nodded briskly.
Okay. Are we going to see the bunnies then?
Suddenly, Lan Xichun remembered why he had liked Wei Wuxian so much long ago. It wasn't that he disliked his brother-in-law now, but it had been a long time since he could look at Wei Wuxian without seeing disaster and pain. He remembered now how quickly Wei Wuxian adapted to new information, how easily he laid his feelings aside to do what should be done. Above all, how readily he embraced Wang Ji at every turn, exactly as he was.
I suppose we are, said Lan Xichun.
For once, he needed no effort to make his smile warm. They returned inside, where Ajahn was eating his breakfast at his usual deliberate pace. He accepted Wei Wuxian's presence without comment, but kept casting suspicious looks at him. When Wei Wuxian had finished eating, and Ajahn was nearly done, Lan Xichun said hesitantly, "Ordinarily, I would leave him briefly to get some greens from the kitchen, so that we can feed the rabbits."
"I'll go," said Wei Wuxian at once.
His attitude during breakfast had seemed easy and comfortable, but in his quickness to go, and in the small uncertain smile he gave Ajahn, Lan Xichun saw that this was, after all, a little difficult for him.
While they waited, Lan Xichun tried to think how he could make it easier. The trouble was, he had no idea how to explain Wei Wuxian to A Zhan. They had built their own tiny world on these days, and where could someone like Wei Wuxian fit into it? Then Wei Wuxian returned. A Zhan looked up at his entrance, and his face lit like the sun.
"Annyeong," he cried.
It hit like a blow to Lan Xichun's chest. Many blows, too many feelings, striking hard in the space of a few seconds. Hurt was the first one. Then a sharp possessive anger. Alarm. Astonishment. Hilarity. Confusion. Ajahn's face, though. Ajahn's face was pure, radiant joy. In a rush, Lan Xichun understood what Ajahn was seeing. Someone he had loved and waited for, long past hope. Someone who had come back. He looked to see what Wei Wuxian would do. Wei Wuxian had dropped the bundle of greens he carried, and was staring back in shock. He glanced quickly to Lan Xichun, and then said, "Okay." He stepped over to sit beside A Zhan. His eyes were uncertain, but his movement was quick and sure. A Zhan looked up at him, beaming. "Okay," Wei Wuxian whispered, and stroked A Zhan's hair. "Okay, A Zhan. I'm here." A Zhan tucked his head against Wei Wuxian's chest, and Wei Wuxian made a small, hitching noise. He wrapped one arm tightly around A Zhan and continued stroking his hair. Lan Xichun had never seen him look so entirely serious. For a short while, the three of them sat very still. Lan Xichun was near tears, and he thought perhaps Wei Wuxian was too, but they did not look directly at one another. Then A Zhan took a long deep breath and sat up. He began straightening the dishes on his breakfast tray, concentrating as if he was working out a difficult puzzle. When everything was perfectly aligned, he looked up at Lan Xichun. "Can we go see the bunnies now?" he asked. "Yes," said Lan Xichun. A Zhan looked at Wei Wuxian. "Wei Gogo can come?" Lan Xichun's first startled thought was, "Where did you get that name from?" He didn't think he'd said Wei Wuxian's name in A Zhan's presence. Wei Wuxian looked to Lan Xichun, eyebrows raised, asking the larger question. "What just happened?" Lan Xichun shook his head slowly. He had never made sense out of any of this. Had never really tried. A Zhan had what he needed. The rest was immaterial. A Zhan was still looking to them both expectantly. Wei Wuxian shook, as if clearing his head. "Okay. Yes, of course. I'd love to come." The three of them walked quietly up to the bunny's dell. As soon as they were there, A Zhan grabbed a stalk from Wei Wuxian's bundle and crouched down, holding it out.
"Gugu! Wei Gugu! Look, he's eating it!"
"Did you tell him to call you that?" Lan Xichun asked quietly. Wei Wuxian's mouth quirked. "Not lately. You think he remembers something?" "I don't know. I only know he is happy." A Zhan looked up at them with the broad smile he only ever showed on these days. Wei Wuxian gave a small, delighted laugh. "All right, A Zhan," he said, sitting down carefully beside him. "Introduce me to your bunny friends."
"You have to pet them softly," said A Zhan,
showing him.
"Right, Gugu?"
Lan Xichun sat on his other side. "That's right." It was a beautiful day. Lan Xichun discovered that Wei Wuxian could be quiet, and not just with the quiet of a distant storm. Wei Wuxian lounged in the grass and watched A Zhan, seeming mesmerized, speaking lightly when he spoke at all. Every time A Zhan laughed over something the bunnies did, Wei Wuxian laughed too, soft as an echo. Later that afternoon, Lan Xichun brought A Zhan's toys to the Jingshi, and they played until dinner time. Wei Wuxian praised his calligraphy. Let him win at marbles. Lost without trying, Lan Xichan suspected. At first capture Wei Qi. On one of these days, several years ago, A Zhan had become curious about the Qin, and Lan Xichan had let him play it. He did not play with his adult self's skill, but his fingers knew the instrument, and he loved picking out playful, experimental melodies. Sometimes Lan Xichan played with him on the Xiao, trying to follow the whims of his music, often making them both laugh when the notes ran far off key. This evening, Wei Wuxian joined them on the Dizi. It was even harder to follow A Zhan's improvisations with both of them, but it didn't matter. They chased his phrases as best they could, and dissolved into laughter when they stumbled into discordance. A Zhan beamed with delight. At bedtime, A Zhan stopped playing without being prompted. Lan Xichan looked to Wei Wuxian, unsure of his territory, for the first time that day. Wei Wuxian spread his hands and took a small step backward. Will you show me what you usually do? So Lan Xichan helped A Zhan fold his outer robes, then tucked him into bed. Wei Wuxian sat on the floor a little way off, so quiet Lan Xichan almost forgot he was there. Lan Xichan sat on the edge of the bed, stroked his brother's hair, and sang as A Zhan drifted to sleep. When A Zhan was sleeping soundly, Lan Xichan rose, and Wei Wuxian followed him to the door of the Jingshi. They stood in silence for a few minutes. The hush felt like a spell neither of them wanted to break. At last, Wei Wuxian said softly, "Will you teach me that song?" Lan Xichan nodded. "Thank you." "If this happens again..." Lan Xichan trailed off, not sure how to ask what he wanted. "Would you like me to call you?" Wei Wuxian said readily. Lan Xichan met his brother-in-law's eyes, smiled. "Yes, I will." Lan Xichan's steps felt lighter than yesterday's as he walked back to the Han Shi and to his own rest. End of story. Thanks for listening.